Craft Beer Radio, episode 521, on August 16th, 2024.
Oh yeah, rocking out to that Information Society. Pure energy, everybody. Hey, how you doing? I'm Greg.
I'm Shannon.
And Jeff. And we're back. It's been a bit, but we're back. We have a bunch of beers to drink tonight. Some new, some old. Like this one was from our trip last summer to New England. This is from Hill Farmstead. And this is Charlie, which is a low alcohol.
Very low.
Farmhouse
2%, ale. Right?
2% we're talking.
Yeah, so we'll see if I screwed up keeping the 2% beer in the fridge for a year. But maybe not.
Maybe not. It's a photo aged hop with Mosaic and Simcoe. They say it has an adjunct of whimsy.
Oh,
whimsy.
So while we're pouring, let me ask you guys, because we didn't talk much when I came in because we wanted to save it for the show. How have you been? We haven't seen each other a bit.
We've been really good. Been busy doing lots of things. The most obvious thing you saw, we have the camper trailer.
A new camper.
Out in the driveway.
Now that's how I'd like to stay. That's how I'd like the outdoors, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
indoors.
It was a bit of like, do I want to do that? But I think what we decided, we're going to like work from the road. We got Starlink. You know, we got a big battery pack and solar panels and stuff. So like, we've done just a shakedown trip, like a weekend in one day working. And it was really hot that day. And we realized our black awning was like a radiator, like radiating heat down on us. So like, I'm going to replace the awning with a white one. Shannon's going to make a quick trip to Florida to see the grandkids. But when she gets back, we're going to do like 10 days in like the Finger Lakes regions of New York and do stuff like that. So, and work during the day.
Awesome.
There's this really cool thing that we found. It's an app and it's a membership. It's called Harvest Hosts. And they have like 5,000 farms, wineries, and breweries. And you can stay for free. They just ask you that you patronize the place. So like spend $30. It's so awesome being able to close down a brewery and not have to drive back to your campsite.
You just walk across the parking lot and get in your camper, go to bed.
So it's cool. It's the kind of camping where you don't have any kind of hookups, right? They don't supply electricity or water or anything. So it's called boondocking when you camp like that. And so, you know, we got the battery pack and solar panels and whatnot. So.
Everything.
And doing a bunch of tweaks after we decided we wanted done after the shakedown trip. And yeah, the next trip will be fun.
Yeah.
And then
likes it.
Yeah. And we're going to be gone for long periods of time. I don't know how long, but we're going to take the dog with us and whatnot. So, all right, Charlie.
Charlie. Cheers to Charlie.
Charlie, which is named after a dog. According to the information, a lively, cheerfully Charlie, our faithful, loving, and steadfast companion, a golden retriever of renown. He effortlessly adopted everyone on Hill Road and beyond, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's a lot nicer than the name Charlie reminds me of, because it reminds me of Hurricane Charlie that hit in Florida when I still lived there.
Nasty business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a golden beer. Mm. It's been sitting in the bottle for very long, so it's pretty clear. And has a tart, tangy nose, a little bit of almost like a lemony thing going on there, lemon wheat kind of thing.
Yeah, it's got that farmhouse kind of aroma to it, and it's got very clean and crisp taste. This is like an ideal table beer, because I mean, you're not getting drunk off of this.
No.
You could drink 6 bottles of this and you'd be peeing a lot, but you would not be inebriated at all.
And yeah, the tartness is significant, but it's not overpowering, but it balances kind of the lighter body of the beer. It gives you kind of a refreshing summer drink kind of vibe.
Yeah, I really like that.
It kind of has a kombucha vibe to it with the sourness.
It does. Yeah. It's such a small hint of the sourness that I think it's, well,
it is. It's really well put together. I'm really enjoying it. It's beautiful. It's this clear golden, not even golden, more like straw. Yeah, well done, Phil. Yeah. Phil Farmstead.
I'm glad the beer, you know, survived being 2%. Mm-hmm. You know, usually the rules for cellaring beer are strong or dark or something like that. And this is a golden, but it is sour. So
it's sour. It's also, it's probably yeast in there, right? So it's alive.
Yeah. Delicious. Big fan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is great.
Yeah. So wrapping up that camper thing real quick, we did two nights at breweries. The first one was in Terra Alta. Yeah. Terra Alta, West Virginia. It was called High Ground Brewing. And they had some really good stuff.
Oh, yeah. They did.
They had a selection of IPAs. A lot of them are hazy-ish. But the one that stuck in my mind was they had a brute IPA that was like kind of melony, you know, hoppy. It was so good. Like, that's the one that stuck with me. And then the second day was 1812. And we're having one of their beers tonight later on.
Yeah. I was recently in Cape Cod, and I introduced my parents to extra special bitters, because, you know, they may have been afraid of it before because they would see bitter perhaps and be like, no, but then I was like, no, give this a shot right up your alley. And yeah, they were very pleased.
Yeah. Doesn't mean what you think it means.
So I told them, you know, it's going to be hard to find in the SB, unfortunately. But when you do find one, yeah, grab it.
Yeah. And then I guess the next big project that I did was, I don't know if you saw it in the backyard, the big white building beside the shed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a solar kiln for drying lumber. So I had some walnut that I got really cheap, and I milled it up into boards, slabs more accurately for people that differentiate. But and then I called around, and the guy that I used the dry lumber before, he's booked up through the end of the year. And I called a different guy that I got a lead on, and it was going to cost me like $1,300 to $1,500 to get this wood dried. And I started looking around, and I could build a kiln for around $2,000 to dry that load and anything else I have in the future. That's what that big white building in the back is. It's basically a greenhouse for drying wood kind of thing. Run that has fans that circulate air and insulated walls to keep the heat in more. And so that's that. First batch is in. I'm not sure how long that I should expect a batch to take to dry or whatnot.
It's full.
But think about this. You can then sell the services.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could either sell the wood at a higher price because it's dry, kiln dried, or even better because it's less work is sell the spare capacity in the kiln to people that have milled their own wood. So we'll see if anyone's interested in that. But yeah, won't if I can do that, it will not take very long to make the money back on building the thing. So
you found your anvil.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully. So that was a project. It's about done. It needs some paint. I just primed it the other day. But I mean, other than that, I have to put up a baffle in there too to help it direct the airflow a little bit better. But that project's about done. And then, man, I got another project or something. Oh, we went to Washington, D.C. with the kids last weekend. I can get into a bunch of detail, but let's move on to the next beer for Reddy.
Well, I better drink up.
Slam down that 2%.
Yeah, that Charlie.
Chug.
Good.
It really is.
All right. Let's go on to this Dark Truce.
It's Dark Truce.
Wild Dark Wheat Ale, aged on plums, 7.5% alcohol by volume. This is from Lone Pine. This is in Portland, Maine as well. Got this last year on the trip.
Lone Pine, Dark Truce.
Yes.
At the...
write this stuff down.
There's a farmer's market I go to. Every week during the summer, and got some amazing plums there. They're smaller than you get at the grocery store, but they're tart and juicy and so good.
Oh, they're so much fresher, because they're closer to ripe when they're picked, unlike grocery store ones, which are picked completely unripe and shipped.
Yep.
And ripened in ripening rooms here in town.
Got that. Got some peaches. They're still hard, though.
See that bottle?
So yeah, the peaches, you got to wait on. Dark Truce is a wild dark wheat ale at 7.5% alcohol by volume.
No, I got it. He said it. Oh.
But this version is aged on plums, he said. Because there's one that's aged on black currants, apparently.
All right, so this one pours thick and dark. It's wheat, it's dark, it has sourness to it. It looks like
a plum.
Hazy soda, cola kind of thing. It's like cola colored, but it's cloudy.
It looks like plum juice.
It looks like, I would say prune juice even.
Or prune juice.
Yeah.
The aroma has some funk to it. It's a tangy, fruity thing. I'm not sure how sour it is and how plum juicy it is. It's somewhere in there, though, you know?
It's got that pruney Dr. Pepper thing going on. I know Dr. Pepper is not actually made with prunes, but there's a flavor that's reminiscent.
Oh, I can smell it now.
Yeah. But yeah, dark, not clear. Well, really, it's just condensation.
So it's a weeded beer. It's hazy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's probably from like the, you know, wheat, like a Dunkelweiss kind of haze, but with souring agents and fruit. Moving on to the flavor for me.
Did you taste it already?
I did, yes. The sour kind of bites real quick up front. And then some of the other flavors come through. It's kind of smoky. And kind of roasty, like if you look at roasty or smoky, it went smoky for me.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. Because, yeah, it lays a sour foundation and then, let's call it.
Second sip, there's a little bit of like candied plum or something like that, like almost like dry, you know, dehydrated, like fruit, like Christmas treats kind of thing.
Yeah, it lays a sour foundation, goes plummy, and then kind of pruny, and then
chocolate-covered raisins.
Yeah,
is what I'm thinking of. Chocolate-covered raisins. Yeah.
And like you said, smoky. Like there's almost a wood smoked aftertaste.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
This is the Dark Truce from Lone Pine.
Huh. That's really interesting.
There is a Lone Pine on the main state flag, so that's probably where the name
comes. Gotcha. Mixed fermentation ale aged 28 months on oak. So that's probably where the wood comes from, the oak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, DC was a lot of fun. We went Thursday through Sunday, and it was the weekend that the storm blew through. So Thursday and Friday were quite rainy. We did a bunch of the museums those days. I'll just rattle them off real quick if you want more details. The first one we did was the Museum of the American Indian. And then we went to the Museum of Black Culture and History, but it was closed. We had to buy tickets, like free tickets online. But I guess the air conditioning or something was down, so they closed the building for the day. Then we went to the Museum of American History.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the Spy Museum because I wanted to try to get, because Max wasn't really into like normal like museum stuff. And he liked the Spy Museum a little bit. Second day, Allie and I left right when the museums opened and went to Museum of African Art and Asian Art. She really liked that. Then we met up and did the Holocaust Museum, which was
really rough.
Bummer. Yeah. It's a bummer.
I sobbed.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah. I would say the American Indian Museum's a bummer. This one's a bummer times 1,000.
Yeah.
Then we went to
the
Natural History. Just a little bit because we had time tickets to the Air and Space.
The one I worked at, Natural History Museum.
Yeah.
You worked at? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
When I was... It was young. It was an internship.
Nice.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to spend more time there.
Yeah.
We were way behind. We were like an hour behind schedule.
We spent a long time at the Holocaust Museum. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's hard to get through that under 4 hours.
Yeah. Because you really want to read and everything and take, I wanted to take it all in, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, the way they told the story of circumstances, like how Germany evolved into the state that it did, you know, like it's really poignant and moving, especially with some things happening in history today.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we went to there in space and, that one was actually one of the most disappointing ones. I mean, we got to see Neil Armstrong's moon suit, the command module, can't think of the name of it right now, and the Wright flyer, but then the rest of the stuff was kind of
Yeah, it wasn't that impressive.
Eagle was the lander.
Yeah, it has a name. I just can't
remember the command module was.
Yeah. Then Saturday was nice, so we did the outside walking. I tried to get passes for the Washington Monument, but I was too far back in line. I didn't leave the hotel early enough, so they sold out. So we just walked around and everything. The most notable thing there, from having been to D.C. several other times, is that this is the first time where we went to the World War II Memorial, and there weren't busloads of veterans.
Mm.
There wasn't any veterans there. I mean, there's still about 100,000 that are still alive.
Are there? Did you look?
I looked it up. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
I would.
But like before, there were so many that it was just constant. There was always groups of veterans there. There wasn't a single one. And that was like, huh, we're getting towards the end of that era, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen it before, but this time the MLK Memorial really struck me. That one. Yeah, like I think I put the symbolism together because the sculpture's incomplete, you know, so it's a work left, you know, unfinished kind of thing. And I think that really struck me.
Evocative. Yeah, the Holocaust Museum, too, has that sort of brutalist architecture that's very evocative.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what, then when you read the sign, like, you're standing on cobblestones from the Krakow ghetto, it's like,
yeah,
what? Like, that was one of the parts that got me, was moving for me there.
And walking through the...
I couldn't find information on this, but...
Sorry, you were...
And walking through the train.
Oh, yeah.
That was the part that was... Yeah. Really hard.
You could... I mean, I'll let you... tell...
My ex-husband, the boy's dad, his father escaped.
Oh, wow.
He was in Hungary with his family, and he was only 14 years old, and he was being taken to a concentration camp on a train. He was captured. He was trying to escape, and he had a suitcase, just a little suitcase with a few clothes, and that was it. But he was captured. He was on the train on the way to the concentration camp, somehow jumped the train with a suitcase. He was shot at... 14 years old. His suitcase was full of bullet holes. He didn't get hit. And he survived, made it to the States with literally the clothes on his back. His father died in that. And his mother survived it. She was like taken underground and you know, into a safe house somewhere. And I think they went from Hungary to Poland. And then that's where, you know, once they came into and invaded Poland, I'm pretty sure that's how the story went. It's been 30 years since he only told the story a couple of times.
It's hard thing know, to, he, to live it, through and then talk about.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So he wasn't keen on talking about it too much, but. Yeah, so it
what
was
a story though. It what was, a story.
I mean, yeah, I loved him dearly. He was great, but he survived it, but you know, it's really
one of the few.
Yeah, one of the few. So that was definitely a mood. I wasn't gonna go. I actually even that morning refused to go because I knew that I wasn't gonna be able to handle it and. Changed my mind at the last minute when he was getting the, you know, time tickets, and I'm glad I went. Very glad.
Just because it's a bummer doesn't mean you shouldn't go see it. It's totally worth seeing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, experiencing. But you're not bringing dates there.
No. No.
I was very happy that I had a purse full of Kleenexes.
I'm surprised they don't, like, just offer them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you aware that the Thomas Jefferson statue in the Jefferson Memorial is looking across at the White House?
Across?
It, like, across the tidal pool. And they keep the trees cleared so you can see the White House from the Jefferson
Memorial. I was not aware of that.
You can't. And then I was, and then I noticed that MLK is looking at the Jefferson Memorial, but I couldn't find anything written that was like an intentional choice for any kind of symbolic thing. But
I'm sure you could trace the, if you trace all of the, where they're all looking, you'll get some pentagram and somebody will have some, something about how, you know, it's.
No, but I've heard before that the Jefferson is intentionally was set up to look at the White House, and the Park Service keeps, like, you'll notice, like, there's just a little clearing in the trees so you can see the White House from the Jefferson Memorial. It's not like, you know.
You know, whatever makes people happy.
Yeah,
it feels silly to me, but on the other hand, it's such a minor thing. I don't mind if that's like if that's something that's there.
Yeah,
it feels just like it's a little way to celebrate him. Fine, Jefferson, important figure, had some drawbacks.
Not a perfect man, though. No.
Yeah, but you know, a man of his time,
for sure. And that, so that was what we did. I mean, the Botanic Gardens after that. Sunday on the way out of town, we went to Arlington and watched the Changing of the Guard. And then we went to the Air and Space Museum out by the airport, the Udvar-Hazy Museum. That was awesome. That was everyone's favorite part of the trip. They have, I mean, some of the planes they have there, right? They have Space Shuttle Discovery. They have Concorde. They have an SR-71 Blackbird. They have Enola Gay, which is, you know, the B-29 that dropped the first atomic bomb.
That's awesome. I do.
It was fantastic.
I did see an SR-71 in person because when I was in Tucson and there's the Air Force base there our company had a party at. And so there was that and there was an A-10, like two of these cool, like legendary. Cool.
I've never seen an SR-71 in person until then. I have seen an F-117, the Nighthawk, the original stealth fighter in person when I was in Scouts, but never got to see the SR-71. So that was really cool.
Yeah, smaller than you might think.
No, it was bigger than I would have imagined, actually. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty big.
It was a while ago, so I might be misremembering.
Big black plane.
Yeah, I mean, I know, I know the plane. Okay. No doubt about the plane. It's just, how big was it? I don't know. Maybe it was hard to judge. It was all indoors.
Yeah. This one, you could walk all the way around it, just outside of touching it, and it was really, really cool. Same with the Space Shuttle Discovery. It was so cool because you get so close to it.
And I watched it launch when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I was right there, you know, I actually That's went true. With you my family to... and we went to the Cape and we watched it. And then I watched it from home once it got high enough into the sky that I could see it, but which really didn't take too long at all. But yeah, so that was really cool. So I was like, oh, I have a, you know, this love for that. Well, for space shuttles anyways, but especially for that one because I saw it in person.
We talk all about the space shuttle in the post show. I've, as a machine, it's an amazing machine. As a spacecraft, it's a shitty spacecraft.
Overcomplicated.
Yeah.
They never got the price, operating price down. Yeah, it has its flaws. They actually had a guy on a big screen on Teams from Detroit.
Yeah.
Who was a virtual volunteer. And you could stand in front of the TV and like ask him questions about the space shuttle.
That's cool.
And he knew at least all the trivial stuff for, like, you know, all the questions little kids love to ask. You know, he was like, that's his sweet spot, right?
Yeah. That was like when I went to the in Houston when I went to Mission Control, the guy who had clearly rehearsed his bit, and he had lots of cool facts, but when I asked him some like more hardcore questions, he didn't quite know how to answer them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what you think, but like going around that museum and explaining to Max and Shannon and Allie, like I'm like, holy shit, I know
a lot
you know, about airplanes yeah. and space travel. Like I wouldn't have thought. Like I was practically a tour guide. Like,
yeah, you are.
Well, a lot of it is also like it's not just.
Which one's that?
This is the Cinderlands Incognita.
Okay, I gotta move this other one down the list.
It's what you can recall, right? It's like you're better at recalling those kind of things than other kind of things, and because other people could read the same thing and just not have the same recall.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing, especially when I was a teenager and stuff. It was like, you know, warplanes were like the thing, and then, you know, space history, like I was identifying things like without the, like they have the
it's dripping on your machine.
They had the instrument ring for the Saturn V rocket mounted, you know, like up in the air, like by itself. And I'm like, oh, that's, I know what that is. Greg's looking up his trip to, oh yeah, that's the Blackbird.
Mm-hmm.
The lighting makes that one look even cooler. And purple lights under the landing gear.
Oh, yeah, it sure
looks
does.
Looks like a spaceship. In D.C., it was just lit normally. It looked like a stealth plane, where that looks like a spaceship.
But you could go up in here, you could go up and touch it.
Really?
I assume they must have replaced the, you know, whatever covering is on it. So, so nobody can go and scrape it off and analyze it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or it might even be a hazard to.
Could be. So. Yeah.
Do you know this? They couldn't seal the fuel tanks on the SR-71, so when it's sitting on the tarmac, it had to refuel
immediately because it would be leaking fuel by the time. But that was because it's made of titanium and it expanded when it heated up.
It sealed the tanks. Yeah.
The engineering shit. They had to do
all the stupid stuff like that. I was like, for like 3 hours, it was just like nonstop Jeff putting out trivia like that.
Yeah, you were.
So they call this a classic saison with a modern touch of New World hops.
So this is a Pittsburgh brewery. This is Cinderlands Fruiterhaus.
Aging in oak fritter for 9 months. All right. Less wild an aroma than the first two in some ways.
There's something that's really strong.
My first sniff was weird. And I'm going to put it in your head so you can hunt for it. Caramel.
What?
Yeah, like I don't know how I got it, but I got caramel.
Coconut.
I'm not getting either. I don't know what you guys are on.
Like just like fleeting weird. Like.
Yeah, no, like sometimes the first sniff, because your brain is trying to understand something.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, the sensors that you have and the brain that you have is not perfect, and it's trying to interpret, and sometimes it gives you some false signals as it's zeroing in.
It's just like that Veritasium we watched the other day with the sounds, where they were showing like how you'd mishear things and stuff like that if the visual cues were mixed up to help.
Mm-hmm. You see why I'm not a realist?
This one has
I can't even pick out
I just got a little
a diaper. Flavor, a particular flavor.
It's got a little diaper, so.
A diaper?
Yeah.
A dirty one or a clean one?
A clean one, but that smell of like slightly plasticky almost.
No.
Move on to the flavors. You'll like it better.
Okay.
It's not as sour as the other ones. Kind of clean. It has a kind of a melony. Or like a light citrus flavor, tropical flavors, I guess. Either melon or tropical kind of hop flavors playing in there.
In the bottle?
It's...
Yeah, I see what they're doing with the Citra and Mosaic cryo hops. So see what they're doing in there in terms of changing the kind of flavor the standard flavor profile, but
it's definitely a tropical flavor, but I can't.
There's a,
like, it must be a mixture of many different things because I can't pick out any one particular fruit.
Like, it's, if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with honeydew, actually.
Hmm.
But it is a mixture. There's probably some papaya in there. There's maybe some.
I taste the honeydew.
But there's a very like earthy aftertone to all of that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Almost cinnamon like. And it's.
Yeah. I'm glad you got the spice because I think that's like the caramelish thing that I got at the beginning. This one is more of a quick drinker. Like it urges you to take a quick sip and kind of where like all the other ones are way more sour.
Yeah. The flavor doesn't linger on this one either.
This one's really easy to drink.
Yeah. It's crisp. It's got that crispness to it. So it goes through its flavors quicker as opposed to, let's say, the last one, which was so distinct and different, had a really interesting story to tell. This one, it has a story to tell, but gets it over pretty quickly.
It's a good solid beer.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It's also a food aged sour, but this one is kind of drink it while you're doing something else. Where the first two were kind of pay attention to the beers and put your other thing on pause. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The first one arguably is just, I mean, it's just, it can be done anywhere. You could have that with anything.
It's set up like a meal or table beer, you know, but it's so good that it would actually make you put it on pause.
And imagine if you had that as, you know, just a cellar full of that for table beer, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, if you have that, you're used to it. But if you're just trying one, it's going to like make you stop what you're doing to focus on it. Where this one's not going to make you stop. This one's just going to go along with the session.
This one's going to go really well with barbecue, specifically like dream barbecue. It would taste really good with it. I don't know why barbecue sounds like the food that you need with the spear, but
I think
it seems like it to me.
I'm kind of with you. I think that the crispness would help with the sugariness, the sweetness that you get from barbecue.
I think it's a nice bridge in there with the collards too. Like if you have the vinegar.
Oh,
collards,
yeah.
You know? So there's a nice little trio going on.
Nice try. It has a little bit of a cocktailness in the sense that it has this, a little bit of this kind of grossness, but in a good way. That like it would, I think this would put off like the first one, anybody would drink that and say that was great. Mm-hmm. I guess anybody who's not opposed to something a little bit sour. Right. This guy, I don't expect you'll have like not a lot of non-beer drinkers going up this and being, like this, I think you got to be more experienced to get something out of.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that there's maybe a little bit of something contaminating it.
What's the percentage, the ABV on it?
What is it?
8.5.
8.5.
Or is that 6.5? I don't know. What's that say?
6.5.
Font's kind of, font's ambiguous.
I believe it says 6.5.
I believe it's a 6.5.
That's right.
Yes. Untappd agrees with you.
Good.
Yeah, so DC was tons of fun. Really enjoyed those airplanes. Could talk about those airplanes forever. And then we came home, and Allie had a great time. Max didn't like the museum stuff as much, but I think
Max is 14, right?
Tomorrow.
So, yeah, he's in that. I know that age. You don't like anything.
Yeah. That's the age I went to Disney and with my little baby kid or siblings, right? You know, I was too cool for school for. Yeah, and it was one of the biggest regrets of
mine. I don't think it's that you're too cool. It's that, like,
no, I was outright miserable on purpose.
Yeah, but your brain and your body are going through such weird changes that you can't, like, you shouldn't blame yourself. There's a cascade of crazy shit happening to your body it's hard. Your brain can't handle it.
I know. I still regret it because I was a dick.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't regret it. You should just try to do better.
Yeah. He's definitely better than his 14.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
14-year-old self. Well,
I was.
And Max wasn't anywhere like that.
He never once acted like he was miserable. Yeah. He really sucked it up, and he was a trooper.
Mm. Yeah,
he was definitely a trooper.
Interested in some things, he did it, and you know, Allie went through that whole phase around the divorce where she just hated my guts, right? And it's like, have we talked about driving with her at all?
No.
Okay, so
let's.
Yeah, we should
so we can get into all that.
Save some of this for the post show.
I do want to bring up this.
What's that?
This is a demonstration for something.
Okay.
I was jealous because you.
I brought this because I found this when we were looking for toys. Because we when I was in Cape Cod, we brought my sister's dog, and it's a little, it's a mix between a Bichon and a poodle, I think, or something like that. And so we got to get toys that were small. So we went to the cat toys. Mm-hmm. And the cat toys, I found this. I was like, I've been looking for a koosh ball or something for a long time because I want to explain something. And this is the perfect tool to explain
a
cool mask thing.
What happened to koosh balls?
Yeah.
They were here until they weren't.
You know, I realized I was thinking, you know, I'm sure I could find them on Amazon, but like, you don't think in the moment.
Oh, have you gone to Spencer's and looked for it? I mean.
If you're going to find it anywhere,
it's more like a of the moment thing as opposed to a.
Yeah. We just opened the hop farm of cocoa, fresh pot of mocha, cocoa coffee porter. Greg brought this over last show, I think, and it's been in the fridge since.
What's the ABV?
5.9.
When I opened the can, it started to foam up a little bit, so. I'm sus on the thing. Hopefully it's not sour.
A new take on their fresh pot of porter conditioned on chocolate and Colombia cacao El Tambo beans from local roaster Red Hawk Coffee.
Big coffee aroma.
Big. Doesn't smell off. I don't smell any, but there's so much coffee aroma, I might be covering it up.
It doesn't, it's not spoiled. It just, foamed up a little bit. But when it foamed up, like when it almost like overruns the rim, you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
You know, and then it.
Now you got the, oh no.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, it does have what maybe is a thinned out body, but maybe it comes up because it only is a porter, right?
Yes. So. Right. Not a robust porter. It's a standard porter. I think that I like the chocolate that's there. I like the coffee. It's a little sweet.
Have you tasted it already? Mm-hmm. I haven't tasted it. I'm still sniffing.
I think you could use a little less sweetness.
On the nose, I'm getting dark chocolate covered cherries. Like a really, really dark, like not the ones you find in your local store. You'd have to go to a specialty store to find these.
Like a real candy maker.
Really good dark chocolate covered cherries.
Yeah. There was a place on Cape Cod that sort of like that, but for pies, like this place that made amazing pies. And we went there and like my sister got a peach pie for somebody. And my dad wanted to get a blueberry pie.
I love blueberry pie.
I like blueberries, but I think blueberry
your dad.
Pie is...
It's wonderful.
That's gross.
It's good.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like, it never is fulfilling. It feels just like... Yeah, so I was like,
I haven't had that experience. I like
blueberry. Actually, if you ask me what my favorite pie is, I would tell you blueberry.
Well, maybe this pie place...
just doesn't know how to make it.
It needed some, I had to put some lemon on it because it needed acidity.
Really?
It was just sweet. And yeah, there wasn't any like tartness from the blueberries. It felt, it tasted like
Okay.
Like blueberry, not even blueberry, like just.
So.
Not very great.
I always like my blueberry pie with a scoop of French vanilla ice cream.
That's it. I didn't do. I just had the
pie. Okay. I was wondering if it was plain.
It was plain. It was plain. I didn't put any whipped cream on it.
The pie kind of should be good plain.
It should be good plain, but it's wonderful when it's. I love blueberries mixed with French vanilla ice cream.
I totally get that. Like, especially like fresh. I love fresh blueberries. They're great. But this didn't taste like fresh blueberries. This tasted like, I don't know, processed almost.
Like pie filling.
Yeah, like pie, it tastes like pie
filling. Not great pie filling.
Yeah.
And you go to a pie place on the beach, you expect more than just a can of pie filling in your cake pie, right?
Yeah.
What was the beach? It's a tourist place.
I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, it was, I'll tell you this, it was busy. This is a little Cape shop made out of, you know, small little house in Cape Cod. And people are coming. This was like probably, I don't know, Wednesday afternoon. And it's just tons of people coming in and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were the other pies noteworthy?
I don't know because I only tried that.
Only tried.
That's a shame.
That blueberry pie. I don't know.
Should have gone back the next day.
Should have gone back. But I already spent so much money on other stuff. I bought so much good fish there.
Okay.
Yeah. Seafood.
Oh, yeah.
And various other ingredients to make stuff.
Oh, real quick on the DC trip. Brasserie Beck closed down in March. We went to Blue Jacket and had a meal. The beers and the food were delicious. The service was atrocious.
It was.
And then.
So bad. But the. Food and beer was great.
And then the last night we snuck out to Church Key, and oh my god, I had like two of the best beers I've had all year in one sitting, you know, that kind of thing.
It was,
and I had three beers.
So
they were
good.
All so good.
We just took an Uber and
cool. That's cool.
It was great. It was definitely worth it.
Yep. Last time I was at Church Key, I was with Greg. He had to help me back to the hotel.
Same building or different location? Same one?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's because I gave you a...
Klonopin.
A Klonopin.
Oh, you told me that story when we went there.
Yeah. I wanted to go hang out with my friends.
To me,
Greg was worried I was going to like go out of the hotel room. So he stayed in my hotel room until I was out asleep.
You should have seen him. He was just like, I want to hang out with my friends.
I think I've invented some memories where they've come back, but like
no, I've clearly inspired your brain to come up with things because I'm sure it doesn't remember.
I mean, I do have a pretty clear memory of you sitting in the chair next to my bed watching me go to sleep.
Aw, you're such a good friend.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah,
and,
such a good friend.
I used to not remember leaving Church Key. Now I have a memory that I do, but who knows?
Right? Yeah.
I don't know. This, the more sips I have of this, the more I'm like, now it just kind of tastes very watered down.
It does feel, it feels like, and I think it might have thinned out. I think that may have been
how it filmed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier, I wanted to get back to this, but we started telling stories, is you thought it was too sweet. I think it has a good balance right now. I think if it was
drier,
it'd be really astringent. You know?
Yeah, now it's fine. So I don't know what I was thinking earlier, because now I'm tasting it as fine, but it does taste
a little watered down.
A little watery.
I mean, I still really, really like the flavors that I'm
I think getting. They kind of masterful control of chocolate, because it's so hard to get chocolate right in beers. And the coffee is well done, too. It doesn't taste like...
Do you remember this beer having more body to it? I mean, you've probably had it more than we have.
I don't remember it having much more body to it.
See, I don't necessarily expect it to have more body, especially if it's like a brown porter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah, the foaming at the beginning sets an experienced drinker up for certain expectations. Yeah. I'm not sure I'm tasting any of those expectations. I can't tell that this isn't what Matt wanted to make.
I don't know. It's I get, you know, the aftertaste of their yeast, which I love. I love their yeast. you know the brewer, so you gotta tell me what yeast he uses.
He knows me, but like, I don't have him on speed dial.
No, I want you to, you know, let's call him now. Let's call him on the show.
Let's get him on.
Hello, this is Matt.
Wow. I know Malcolm better than Matt. He was brewing there for a couple years, so.
And if you know Matt, tell him I want more of the pub games.
More pub games.
More pub games.
That was a mild, right?
Or is English mild. Yeah, English mild. Hmm. It's so good. And Cinderland just recently did a ESB. That was really good, too.
Oh. I had a couple good beers at Cinderland's a couple months ago. I don't remember.
Yeah, we need to go back.
I was just at Dancing Gnome this week, and they had a dry hop pills.
That was good.
I went back for a second. Like I said, like I'm always like, okay, had that. Let me check off something else. And like that one's like, nope. I want more of that.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty high compliment when it's like, no, I have to get another one of those.
For sure. But it's so rare to see an English, you know, like bitter style in the beers. So it's like I grab up whenever I can.
All right. This beer is the Chain Line Dark Olympus Divine Nectar Barrel Aged Imperial Stout Coffee Edition, 10% alcohol by volume.
You had all that?
Oh, no. Wait, what was the name of it? Hold on.
Pay attention to what I'm talking.
I was rinsing my glass.
Unnecessary. Well, maybe it is necessary. Chain Line.
That's the name of the beer or the brewery?
The brewery.
Okay.
It's the one that we went to in Seattle. Where you ordered the food and they didn't get your order and you were all mad. That?
No. No.
We were at that little place where Google was. And
what's the rest of it? Chain Line
Brewing Company. Dark Olympus.
Okay. Dark Olympus.
Divine Nectar.
I don't need all that.
I don't think Divine Nectar. It's just barrel aged on their site.
Imperial Stout. 10% alcohol/volume. And there's a coffee sticker stuck on the side.
Okay. Thanks.
So this is the coffee version.
Yes.
Did we have this there too?
No.
Okay. Just wondering.
Well, we have ourselves a very dark beer.
It's dark.
Looks like my happy place. Thick, opaque, brown, like... residue when you tilt your glass, the lacing is dark. Yeah.
It's got that kind of s'more like aroma.
It has legs. Look at that.
It does have legs.
Like a fine wine.
There's coffee, but there's also kind of a fusel alcohol aroma on this. Like it's kind of this hot alcoholic thing in the middle.
I was wondering if that was just me.
What did you say?
A fusel alcohol. It's that nail polish remover acetone thing in the middle. It's usually an infection in the can.
No, see, I was thinking it smells like a really expensive, good bourbon.
Flavor's weird. Flavor has the roast and the booziness and the kind of coating character, but then there's a stick in the middle of it, like a woody
then
stick.
Then it goes circus right, peanuts.
There's a woody
a
stick
what?
Right in the middle.
Circus peanuts almost.
So banana and ethyl amyl acetate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay, that might explain some of the aromas that I was, that kind of fusel aroma too.
Yeah. So this is one of the beers that it happens, it's gone off, but it's gone off in an interesting way.
Yeah, there's like a log in the middle of the whoop.
So sometimes an off beer can be, you know, not as enjoyable as the beer was probably intended to be, but interesting. And this is a very interesting concoction.
Peeking around the spoilage in the middle, this would have been a fantastic beer.
Probably.
Where's the?
But yeah, you're right. It's flowing one way, and then it hits just this. Mm-hmm. It just diverges.
Yeah. If it was like silky and velvety and just a big hug in the middle instead of a pointy stick,
mm-hmm.
that's what it probably was at one point, or could have been. It's so close to being there, but it's not.
Yeah, this is clearly not intended. Like, you get the coffee.
It's very, yeah.
Muddy,
that's what I'm getting is mostly coffee.
Yeah.
Beans. That sip was better.
Muddy, like burnt coffee, and
that sip was more like chocolate covered espresso beans.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say like burnt coffee.
So I didn't get the things I didn't like. That last sip, I didn't notice. That one was more like a handful of chocolate espresso beans. So there's a big astringency to it, bitterness from the espresso beans, but the chocolate kind of balances it.
I'm still getting that weird end that goes, it goes, yeah, it dries in a weird way, and it goes kind of champagne-y.
I've got chocolate-covered espresso beans from Publix.
Publix?
Absolutely. From Publix.
Go with the sweet tea.
I mean, no, it goes really good with anything. That's what I'm tasting.
And if you want more, I can give it to you, but I'm going to pour this out because this is...
You don't like it.
I mean,
it's a shame.
I don't like it. I mean, plain and simple.
It's not without flaw. I'm not sure it's a drain pour for me. I don't know.
It's worth drinking.
It's worth having.
Talk about more of your trip.
I'll say it's worth having another sip. Yes. Yeah. What else did you do?
I mean, I didn't do much. I cooked.
Tell me your favorite meal, or maybe the
meal that you cooked that was everybody else's favorite.
Yeah, the one that was most warm, well received.
The one that was most well received.
Out of how many nights did you cook to? Go ahead and know that.
I cooked probably, so I was there for. I was there for like 7 nights and I cooked at least 4.
Okay.
What
was everybody's favorite?
My dad's favorite was definitely the ramen. He asked for that, so I made that.
That's you just really like boiled ramen noodles and
No. I made
from
made top ramen. Yeah. He actually put a really special Texas Pete hot sauce on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So it was dollar store ramen, but I chopped up some green onions on top, so that made it special.
I have some. Will you make me whatever you made for your father?
So that's the thing. I made a tokatsu ramen, and it took 24 hours to broth.
Towatsu?
Tonkatsu. It's a pork, cured pork belly, like cutlet.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. And the broth is made from... It was
you keep
pig bones and duck bones. Yeah, I kept it basically a steady kind of rolling boil for 24 hours.
And you did this?
Yeah.
So,
I had nothing but time.
Were you joking or were you serious when you said cheap noodles?
No, I was joking.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Did you make the pasta scratch? Or
no, I did not make the pasta from scratch. But I bought, there was a place in Boston where I bought some... basically Japanese style wheat noodles.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I made pretty authentic ramen, mm-hmm. not as good as like a amazing ramen.
I'm just curious how far you went. One of the last times we were down in Florida, Shannon's daughter-in-law, I've never made pasta. And we did this whole thing where we made fresh pasta. Everyone made their own pasta mm-hmm. and we bolt cooked it and had, was it spaghetti or what was it?
Yeah.
But it was, I can't remember what the sauce was.
I mean, yeah, it was more of a vodka
okay.
sauce.
But anyway, that it's like, I should make pasta more.
Yeah. No, it really convinces you to just invest in the time to make fresh pasta if you're... gonna make your sauce.
Oh yeah, no, when you make fresh pasta it's amazing, but yeah, it's yeah. It can only be used in certain, like, dry pasta is so versatile.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And doing all the stuff to make fresh pasta is not worth it for most of the time. Just like this is not worth it. But so I don't like take pictures. I don't do it in Instagram and stuff, but my dad did take a picture of the last time I made ramen, and this time was essentially the same. But yeah, so this is a picture of
Ooh, that's a nice dish. You're gonna have to post that on Discord. And if anybody listening is not on our Discord, they need to go to
craftbeerradio.com. There's a link on that page.
And there's a link.
I thought I made a shortcut, but I can't remember that right now. So there's a link on the main page. We have a Discord where
we tried.
It's
to chat.
Yeah, it's mostly just me and Greg and a guy named Marinus who works at a brewery out near Philly, and
the other Greg, not me.
Yes, Greg.
The other Greg. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Greg McGill.
Yeah, because it's not that I don't want to communicate. It's just that I'm don't think of it. I hadn't opened it in a couple of weeks.
It's fine. I go through phases where I'll post and stuff and then forget.
Greg Fumiera.
Yeah,
has been on there lately because he saw that I was in DC, but he was out of town. So
I should come back on.
A small community, but if you want to hop on fun. And just chit chat,
it's great
with us,
to chat. You would have known about our camper way before today. Had you been on your Discord?
Yeah, I
just
I don't, if it's an app that you don't normally use, then it's another thing.
Yeah,
it's a whole thing. Right?
It's a pain in the butt because you turn the notifications off on everything except what you have to be notified on. And you forget about it.
I guess you guys don't use Signal that often.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
That didn't push notify us.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I have mine.
I'm in there enough that I've never not got a push notification until this time. So I don't know.
Huh. Is there, should I contact you a different way?
No.
No,
I mean, iMessage would be better,
usually,
but
I see them.
You like the multi-platform messaging app. So Signal's fine. It was just a weird thing because
I should just turn it on so I get notifications all the time from Signal because you're really the only person that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want you to use an app just for me.
True. We don't use Signal for anything other than the group chat that we have.
But we
can do an iMessage group chat and do that.
Oh, well, then you would get responses from me. Not necessarily him.
Hey.
Come on. Open your phone right now. Don't manipulate anything. Just unlock it for me for 1 second. Unread messages.
It's going to be all like push messages.
12 unread
messages.
And
how many of those are like one-time passwords?
Well, whenever you get something, I'm compulsive about getting rid of that.
Oh, the red badge?
Yeah, the badge.
No, I don't even see it. I'm blind to the red badge.
So it's so ugly to me. And then it makes some people ask, then why don't you turn it off? Because then I wouldn't
know when you want to know.
Yeah. It's a sickness. I agree.
How many real texts haven't I read?
40%.
Oh. I saw the notification when it came through.
I keep getting the Trump spam texts.
What algorithm did you mess up?
I have no idea.
It's everyone. I mean...
I don't get
political texts, even if it's Harris.
No,
I'm like, stop.
I only get
fuck off.
Oh, I don't even get Harry, they're not.
Oh, you think they're?
Oh, they come from all different. I report and block all the numbers. They come from different numbers.
So
they
they're
say
not
different
from the
things.
Campaign or not from a.
Oh, they're from a pack. They're clearly a script, but so this pack is, and the pack changes its name, and it says. There's somebody who it's sent to Greg by from some random made up name and some random made up pack name. So whatever it is, it's super shady.
Mine is, I get messages all the day or every day about
all the live long day.
But imagine Trump doing something shady like.
I get messages. People, they're asking me to volunteer for Kamala.
Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna not say the name because
comma
I
blah.
But oh, gosh. Okay. Now I
it's
okay. The Band-Aid's off. We can go ahead and talk about politics
we'll
and
for
shit.
The post show. We'll save that for the post show. I mean,
one of our
good listeners, like after 4 years, finally friended me on Facebook again. So
I'd live with my parents for a week, and they are
great. They're great.
My mom's mind has gone. She is.
Just give me the box.
QAnon without admitting it.
Oh, no. I know somebody like that. Don't I?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, maybe several people like that. So.
But a weird version that likes vaccines. So I, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll get into all that fun stuff in the post show. Let's talk about this beer. This is the 1812 Bourbon Barrel Aged Imperial Stout Chocolate and Cacao version. 1812 is the second brewery that we stayed at in Harvest Host. They're in Cumberland, Maryland, on a farm.
That's so great.
We hit two breweries that were way above average.
Way.
That's like we're doing this thing, and like, what if it's a real stinker? You know, like that's going to feel like a wasted opportunity. But the first two were like, they were awesome. So.
Assistant Imperial Stout is coming in at a relatively small 12%.
Oh, and that's all? No, wait. Oh, I thought it was all 12.7.
Chocolate cherry.
Chocolate cherry.
I have three versions of this. I have this one, I have the coffee one, and then the regular one.
What is the actual name of this beer?
It's
Barrel-Aged Imperial Stout.
Barrel Age Imperial Stout is the actual name.
That's the name?
Or fancy, BBA Imperial
didn't
Stout.
Give it a fancy name.
Yeah.
They all just named it descriptively, like a all brewery right. should.
I mean, I go both ways.
I mean, because how many would you find that were named Bourbon Age Imperial Stout? And what if we had all of the hazy IPAs
That
would suck.
It would, wouldn't it? You never know.
Hazy IPA with Citra Mosaic, Hazy IPA with Nelson and Strata. I mean, I'd like that.
But where's the art?
Okay. I mean, I'm not military against it, but like, especially when you're like, I don't know, like you're.
It has its place.
If you're rolling up on a brewery you're not familiar with, it's nice having descriptive names.
Well, that's why I'm glad that breweries these days are pretty good about making sure the label on the can or the bottle explains what it is. It didn't used to be that way.
Yeah. And almost every place will tell you like the hops.
Yeah.
And that's so nice, especially when you get to a certain level of knowledge in beer drinking. Like you can walk in and like, okay, Nelson and Strata, Mosaic and Simcoe, yeah. Mosaic and Galaxy. Ooh, you know, like you can kind of, you know, like
you can tune yourself.
You know the zip code of the beer.
Can I just stop and interrupt both of you?
No.
Have you, I don't care. I am anyways. Have you tasted this yet?
No.
Have you, just knows it. Knows it.
Knows it?
Knows it. Knows
because
it.
I wanted to say.
Is that where
yet.
You rub your finger
knows
on your nose
it.
And stick it
come
in
on,
your head?
Come
good
on.
Out?
Come on.
I wanted to say about it because
yeah.
before I
please do
it, that I could see this going one of two ways based on the aroma because there's a bit where the cherry and cocoa that's in there tastes almost Hershey like. And, you know, that feels.
It smells. You haven't tasted
smells, it. Yes. Okay. But smell and taste are so intertwined.
I know, but you'll change your mind.
Yeah. Do you already know?
So, like I'm saying, it can go both. It can go one of two ways. Yeah. It could be that, or it could be amazing. Well, I haven't tasted it yet.
Well, I don't know. I think there's a third way. There's third.
All right.
Or there's just fun.
Don't taste it. Don't taste it yet,
terrible.
Greg. You can't, Jeff. Come on.
No,
tell
I don't
me
want
what
to
influence
him.
Tell me what you're.
Taste it and don't say anything. And then
okay.
I'll talk.
Okay. That's good. No words. No words.
I
Jeff,
give him time
go.
To form his opinion, so I don't influence it.
Give me another sip.
Okay. Building some serious drama here.
It is. It's like soap opera.
I mean, I'm pretty succinct in what I want to say. It's an old school callback. If you remember or have ever had Bell's Cherry Stout, it's a lot like that. I mean, that's not an imperial, that's not barrel aged, but the way the tart Michigan cherry flows through that beer is like in this beer. Like, it's just like tart cherry juice, like, is a big part of the flavor, like over too much of the flavor for balance for me.
What do you think, Shannon?
I've already tasted it, so
no. But so is Jeff. He just described.
You're up.
I'm curious what you think.
Maraschino cherries and Hershey's chocolate, but not. It's very. It's not overwhelming. It's kind of got a. Hold on, I gotta taste.
I mean, do you really think the cherries come across candied like that?
No. I'm not saying candied.
You said maraschino.
Well, yeah, you're right. I did. No, they do. I taste that very. It's a waxy cherry. Even at the end, it's a very waxy cherry. So it actually, I got it. Right. The chocolate covered cherry blizzard from Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Because it has, you've got that vanilla note to it, but it's very light. It just keeps it very smooth, I think. And then you have that very artificial cherry, waxy taste that I think is pretty strong. And it's covered by cherry, by chocolate. Yeah. Hershey's chocolate, cheap chocolate.
Yes, I would say this tastes like cherry pie filling with Hershey's chocolate microplaned on top of it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you think the cherry is so sweet.
That's the only thing I taste. It's not sweet, it's sour.
Right, it's not cherry pie filling. Cherry pie filling is 100% sweet.
Okay, so cherry pie filling mixed with lemon juice.
Okay.
Okay, so really tart cherry pie filling.
See, for me, I wouldn't utter maraschino. I wouldn't say pie filling. It's like way tarter than any cherry I've actually eaten.
To me, it's the chemicaliness of it.
Waxy.
It just tastes chemical. Like processed stuff. So that's what I mean by pie filling, is that it tastes processed.
I don't get chemical. I'm missing that. No, I'm not saying I'm not. You're both staring at me like I'm trying to defend.
You're fucking nuts.
I don't love this beer, but
like, I'm not saying I love it.
I wish it was more maraschino and pie filling than what I'm tasting. You know, like, I think that'd be better than the tart Michigan cherry vibe.
Daggers at you for your choice and how you decide to taste.
I mean, I'm like, the way you're looking at me, I'm like, maybe I'm not communicating the way I think I'm communicating. No,
I mean, you look. You taste what you taste. To me, it tastes like, maybe I'm thinking of like the pie filling that's in those like grocery store pies, but not sweet.
It's canned pie filling.
Canned pie filling. Some sort of tart canned pie filling.
Which doesn't exist, but we'll agree to that.
Whatever. It does exist.
Maybe that specific thing doesn't exist, but you can, hopefully that brings to mind the idea.
Okay. I don't have a vibe that it feels chemical or like adjunct, you know, like ingredient, like processed food added. I don't know what the cherries were, but it doesn't taste processed.
I keep drinking it though. Pour this out, please.
Yeah,
it's 12%.
You don't. It's not worth the sobriety.
No, not all
right. We have one more beer. A bonus beer.
Hold on. We're not done because I'm still drinking mine.
We have a bonus beer though.
Okay.
It's a beer that we've wanted to have on the show for, God, 16 years.
What?
And
before my time.
Never had the opportunity to have this beer. One of the whales from the days gone by.
When whales existed.
What are you drinking?
Water.
Oh.
This is Barrel Aged Darkness from Surly Brewing Company 2022.
Never mind me. I'm just trying to finish my beer. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have to give you any.
It comes in a cardboard box with a can inside, 16-ounce can.
Oh, I was wondering, because I thought it'd be a
little bottle. A little bottle? Nope, 16-ounce can. Beautiful artwork. 12% alcohol by volume. Bourbon barrel aged Russian Imperial Stout, rich and evil and decadent, is what the label says.
Okay, wait. Surly? Wait.
Surly?
What's the name of the barrel?
Surly.
Surly. S-U?
Yes.
Surly, you can't be serious.
Like, surly, like they're mad at you. Surly. Surly. I meant the surly dude on the subway.
Is it called barrel age?
It's darkness.
Darkness?
Darkness.
Darkness. Well, yeah. Darkness.
It's called...
It's very dark. I like it.
Don't overpour, because we want to maybe save some for later.
Yeah.
Darkness. Give me that.
It has a black top, which means it's fancy. It's like wax. It's like a wax thing when you put a black lid on the can.
Wait.
Just darkness.
Darkness. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Look, it kind of matches your tattoo.
It's very dark.
No, the one on your neck.
Oh, fuck, that one is dark. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
That's why you have a tattoo.
to remind me when I forget when my memory's gone.
I've never seen darkness for sale before. I wasn't sure if I was ever going to be able to get it without going to the brewery in Minnesota, I think it is, or Wisconsin.
Minnesota.
I forget where Surly is exactly. Minnesota. And I was sitting at, I decided to go to the bar at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I was driving by one.
A giant eagle. Cool story, bro.
And
there was a bunch of... I'm just trying to do a Minnesota accent. I'm terrible at it.
There was a bunch of really interesting day drinkers there. And
you had fun. Yeah, and you're like, we could go. We should go to happy hour. The people who
are
at the
bar at Giant Eagle are interesting. At
like 3 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it might have been earlier than that. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, because I had to go to the grocery store. And I'm like, you know what? I'm an adult. I'm going to have a beer.
Yeah, I'm an adult. I can do what I want. Shannon can't control me.
And I was sitting at the bar having a...
She's not going to tell me what to do.
Sitting at the bar.
Not today, at least.
I ordered a beer that was not very good because I screwed up with my order. And sitting on the wall behind the bar, they had things like Sam Adams Utopias for like $275.
What? Wait, what? Did you say Sam Adams?
Utopias?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've had Utopias.
You've had Utopias. They're amazing.
That little golden bottle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. It's worth it. No, you guys are right. No.
No. It's $275 now.
You said $200. Yeah, so.
And then they had other things. And then they had this little box of darknesses. Like, it's our problem.
A box of darkness.
And I asked to buy the box of darkness.
That's so sweet.
And they almost wouldn't sell it to me because they thought it was out of code and needed to go back to the brewery.
Oh, you know, glad you convinced
because
them.
Because of the label.
And I'm like, it'll last 10 years. Like,
you guys are stupid.
It'll last 50 years in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you who you're going to vote for.
Save that for later, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not necessarily true because, you know, the people who are behind the bar of Giant Eagle are not exactly like people who know. I mean, you know, they're people who got hired 4 weeks ago. They have no idea.
That's insane.
So, yeah, I could talk about that. Oh, the day drinkers were so good. The guy beside me.
It could be smart in other ways.
I'll talk about the day drinkers in a moment. But let's talk about this beer. Black as my soul. Right there.
Jeez. I should leave then. Didn't realize it was that dark.
I'm scared. I sleep with them.
Rethink your priorities.
I might die.
It smells.
If I come up missing, if you guys don't hear me on the show,
smells a little bit like Mexican chocolate, where I'm like, there's a cacao and a cinnamon kind of aroma on it.
Oh no, I get the cinnamon.
Before you go further, I want to point out that according to the stuff here on Untappd, It's matured in Elijah Craig 12-year bourbon
barrel. Oh, I just had some so Elijah
that
Craig
could be where some of
right before the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, so I'm just talking about what's in the glass. Mm-hmm. And there, yeah, there's just like this cinnamon cacao, like almost how a Mexican chocolate, where it's like it kind of dusty flavored and has that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's what I'm smelling.
I love Mexican chocolate. Somehow,
I do too.
It's somehow like, it doesn't get creamy, but it's amazing because of that. It's
got almost a
powdery
powder. Like, yeah. I was going to say baby powder, but I didn't want to put the like baby scent kind of thing into y'all's head. So I was trying to come up with the word. But yeah.
It's hard to explain, but texture wise, there's something about it that's amazing and it tastes.
Wait, come on. It's like the flour on the bottom of the
dish
from the when you make a pizza and you put the flour on the dish on the pan, then you're gonna have that's what it tastes like.
Freaks, do the rest of the show in that accent.
In the dish, we should do that.
It reminds me of one of the things about you know.
Oh my god!
Oh shit!
Before you
really.
Go, I want to finish this story. So when I go to cook it, when I go to, you know, and I get to spend all week cooking, it's like, it's my fantasy. It's great. I don't have to worry about work or anything. I just do whatever I want.
You do your favorite thing. You're being very inventive and creative and you're using that side of your brain. And
yeah, but the problem is you got to buy a whole bunch of stuff in order to have a pack. Like I needed corn flour because I was baking some bread just to put, I needed like a little bit of corn flour, but you have to buy a huge thing of cornmeal rather. You have to buy a huge thing of cornmeal just to get the little that I needed. As it was frustrating because
that's
pounds. The worst part about vacation. Like, because you have to buy all the shit. It costs so much money. You have to buy the mayonnaise and the ketchup and the pickles and the relish
or
and the this and the that.
Think ahead of time and you buy or you bring all that shit with you.
If I was able to bring some stuff from my sisters.
Yeah.
And like, and there's a stash of stuff that, at least the non-perishable stuff that I've saved over the course of several times. So we bring that up because I visit my sister first in Boston and then drive to Cape Cod. But some things you either forget or you don't, like she had cornmeal, I'm sure, but you know, you're there and you need it and you're like,
you know what you need? You just need to start saving all of the little packets of mayonnaise, ketchup and relish.
Do they have cornmeal in this?
Like we have in our fridge.
And then you leave it at home and fly to vacation
The problem is twofold. The problem is one, having a portable version, and two, remembering to bring it.
There's been times where like, oh my God, we have to buy all the things at the grocery store. It just cost way too much money to buy
all the things. Well, that's kind of why we do the home chef stuff too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, not for a vacation thing, but have you ever tried like a meal delivery service? Like
no, I have. I've never actually tried one.
Oh, we love it. It's great because it's easy.
The price is comparable with eating out. So it's not as cheap as doing the stuff from your grocery store, but you don't have to plan and you don't have to like figure out what to do with leftover ingredients, right? Everything in the bag is, you know, so it's
exactly what you need.
And the food can be pretty big selection. I can send you a referral code for the one we use. But this isn't an ad. The point was,
it sounded like one, but no.
The point was that
no, he just wants the truth. He wants the discount you get when he gives you a referral code.
Well, I do get a referral, but the point is that I really enjoy it's the cooking without the logistics.
Yeah,
maybe it can't be as inventive as you want to be, and you won't like it, but. You know, it's really nice for most of those weeknights where you just need dinner and you want to have a good meal that you cooked, it's a great option. So,
yeah, it really might be worth.
Now, you're going to have to buy, I don't know of one that does a single portion, right? So you might always have leftovers. You'll have to do two portions.
But I mean, because we've thought about that too. And it's like, okay, well, we could. we would just have it for lunch the next day, and that's fine.
But like the one we use, and I think we use Home Chef right now. Probably going to shop around because the deal, the intro deal is out, and you know it's about $75 a week for three meals for two people.
For two people. Yeah,
three meals.
No,
for two
it's
people.
Not at all.
Yeah, so six actual plates.
And you have no leftovers. You're not buying all that excess stuff. That
I mean, based on what it costs when I go to the grocery store, that's not terrible.
No.
So and you know you get to pick every week what you want. Mm-hmm. It has done a really good job for me teaching me the building blocks of building a dish. You know, like. These ingredients work together and stuff like that, you know? So that's one of the reasons I don't want to sound like I'm patting my own back, but it's one of the reasons.
I mean, you talk about my juicer. I don't want to bring it up now.
One of the reasons that I'm the cook that I am is because I've learned the patterns from these meal kits.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm a flavor
trial. You are. You're great.
Yeah. I think I'm a pretty good cook.
You think, if it's sourness, sweetness, and saltiness. I think is that the three? I don't know. There, you think flavors will come in through. So think about that.
Are we talking about the beer?
Yeah. We're really like teasing anyone who cares about what we're talking about. Like that's really darkness in our glasses and we're not talking about it. So.
No, we're not.
All right. Yeah. It still has that Mexican chocolate kind of nose.
Oh, it's definitely the Mexican chocolate.
Let's make them wait more. For a response.
Oh my God, the flavor though, man.
I'm just joking.
You're killing me. Killing me. Flavor has exactly what I'm looking for in Imperial Stout. It's the full bodied. There's some oakiness coming through there. So that almost gives it kind of a vanilla cherry thing. Like 1,000 times lighter than the last beer. I'm not comparing it to the last beer, but like just a note of vanilla cherry.
The right amount, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. It's perfect.
And it has the booziness that follows that. It finishes fairly dry. It's not cloyingly sweet. The balance on this beer is superb. This is top tier.
I feel like not only does it have that hug that you want, but the hug itself is textured, which is something you don't usually get. That aftertaste has different components to it.
Yeah, it just makes your brain keep going.
Yeah,
it's like trying to process what you're tasting.
Not bad.
No.
Is that what you're giving it? Not bad? Yeah, no. Surly lives up.
Oh.
Our darkness lives up to what I hoped it would be because of
that
its
is
reputation.
Exceptional. That is exceptional. That is... If you see this, get it. There's no higher thing I could say that because I can put it on whatever list, blah blah blah. This is a buy.
Yeah, I mean,
if you see something,
I mean, okay, so I mean, I almost at any reasonable price, I think I might have paid $23 for that.
That's an amazing. Yeah. I mean, you've had stinkers that have been more.
Yeah,
and this is one of the better beers we've ever had. I feel uncomfortable at ranking them now. We've had so many amazing beers.
Okay, where are they from?
Like, they're in Minnesota. Unless I'm being an idiot right now. I bet you the can says. Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
Hey, Brooklyn!
Did I mention that it's rich, evil, and decadent?
Well, it is all that.
Mm.
And what's the ABV?
It's 12%, but it doesn't taste like it.
Wait, the other one is 12.
I mean, it does
is this
a little
one
bit,
12
but it doesn't.
Too?
But it's drinkable.
It doesn't feel like it's 12%, but it brings the booziness, which is if I'm judging the balance beam, I need some booziness on the routine to give it a score that is gold medal winning, you know? And so it's what I want. When I order an Imperial Stout and it doesn't bring that alcoholic ethanol flavor, I'm disappointed. So
yes, I agree with you, especially a Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah,
a Russian Imperial Stout has to have this very, you know, really thick body and
thick body, strong a little alcohol. Bit of raisin character. When you say Russian, I expect a thicker body and raisin kind of character. And this has that
a little
too.
Bit of astringency.
Yeah, it does.
But that spiciness you get in the aftertaste, all those different flavors that come as the hugs, as the alcohol hug happens, because usually the alcohol hug is the last part.
Yeah, this one has like that Mexican chocolate flavor. It has a cherry cordial flavor. It has almost a peppery flavor.
I wouldn't really let this sit and enjoy it. I mean,
this is beautiful.
Let's rank. Let's wrap. Let's go to the post show.
What?
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, I haven't done a ranking first in a while, so I'll start.
You do it. Rock this bitch.
This is number one. you do.
So what? I had a Hill Farmstead at Churchkey. What the hell was it? It was so good.
Can you pass me the other two?
Yeah. It's nice not going first because now I can just kind of crib my answers off of Greg's unless he says a really bad reason why he picked a certain beer at a certain rank. Ooh, late breaking elevation.
Think that's right.
What beer is this? Okay.
Although no. What were your notes? Okay.
It's a good order. Yeah, I can give you some notes.
Yeah, give me some notes because I'm trying to, because, you know, have this beer.
Which
beer?
Which beer do you want the note on?
Incognita and Chainline.
Incognita was the clean, quick drinker,
right.
Melanie, yes.
Got it.
Saison.
Right. It's in the right place.
And then the Chainline.
The everyday
type. Actually.
All right. Send it.
And Chainline.
Chainline.
So I'm remembering the right place for it.
What one was Chainline?
The barrel aged Imperial Stout.
I'm having a hard time distinguishing the Chainline versus.
Right.
That's the name of it?
The
Dark Olympus.
Oh.
From Chainline Brewing.
The barrel aged Imperial.
You gave it a D.
I did.
Bad? I don't remember.
Well, everybody has their own opinions.
Oh, that one's big. I mean, at least now when it's warmed up, big coffee. Taste it. That tiny little sip tasted really fucking good, didn't it?
Oh,
no?
Wait. What? What?
No, Greg didn't like that little sip. I did.
This was the one that there was a problem with it.
Oh, that's right. I didn't taste the problems, but let me try it again. Go.
It's got a little bit.
There were two that I poured out, and this is one of them.
Oh, okay.
You did.
Gotcha.
You did.
All right.
So, start from, I mean, you know that the first one is a. It's not like a big deal, but we'll start from the bottom anyway. 1812 Brewery. This is the one that tasted like cherry pie, like something artificial, some sort of artificial process stuff. And that it was just gross.
Okay.
And then the Chainline was the one that has a stick/infection in the middle. Yeah. Although it tasted less stickiness, but I could still taste the flaw.
Yeah, the sip of the dregs at the end after 40 minutes were better than the rest of the beer.
But we've also had, you know, barrel-aged darkness to
give us in a good mood.
Yeah, to put our tongues in a very good mood. So that could have something to do with it. Next, I'm going to go with the Incognita because I felt like I switched places with the fresh pot of mocha. I had the fresh pot of mocha in third for a bit, and then I switched it before this. And I think the reason why is because the Incognita, there was a weirdness to it that I was like, it was interesting, but there was that grossness. part of it that was, I feel like the fresh pot of milk, particularly when it was fresh, was, I think, better. But it, the dark truce was really interesting. It wasn't typical. I don't know how good it was if you compare it with a bunch of other wheat ales.
It wasn't necessarily delicious, but no. It was interesting.
Yes. And as a beer to drink on the couch, probably not great. As a beer to analyze in a show like this, it scored pretty well just because there's stuff to talk about and there's stuff to dig into. Charlie would be the winner on any other night. Just for doing what it's doing.
2% beer in the history of the planet.
Well, I feel like Le Petit Prince, when we had that was like one. Charlie's better. I agree. Charlie's better. But like Le Petit Prince was also really low. It was in the 3 or lower.
Yeah.
And it was, we also thought it was exceptional. And you kind of have to, right? Because you can't have any flaws in that beer.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so apparent right away.
Speaking of Le Petit Prince, Jester King is a brewery on that Harvest Host app.
Oh, cool.
So we might, if we get the Texas.
If you go get drive all the way to Texas, good luck. It's a big country.
Yeah. I think Austin's in the cards.
There. Oh, it's definitely. No, we're definitely going to Austin.
Come on.
Freaking dark.
It's one of, like I said, one of the better beers we've ever had on the show. So is Charlie, frankly. But.
Yeah, you're right. You're not wrong.
God, it's so hard too.
To excel to this level at doing this. It is all funny because you could hide a lot in that. You could hide a lot of mistakes in that. Small mistakes, not big ones. But you could hide a lot of small mistakes in that because it's overpowering it in certain ways for certain things. But who gives a shit at this point?
I mean, you can blend out a bad barrel and stuff. You have a lot of options.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
It's really
all right. Do you want to go, babe, or should I go?
It's up to you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I am going to put
chain line. You're going to have to take a picture anyway, so you know, I'm going to put them in.
I'm going to put the chain line in last place. This is mainly because Greg reminded me of how I noticed the can flaw. The stick that was in the middle of that beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that Greg and I differ in our placements of the last and second to last is because I didn't think the cherry in the 1812 was as weird, artificial, bad. I thought it was just tart. But everything else was fine. But really, this is where I draw the line of beers that are like, and beers that are, actually, no, I don't draw the line here. I'm going to put the Hop Farm in fourth place. That one was unobjectionable. It might have lost some body from a can infection, but I couldn't taste it. And I kind of liked the balance of the beer. Mm-hmm. So how can I say that the can foaming was a detractor if it resulted in the balance that I liked?
Well, we talked about sometimes something off can result in something interesting.
Above this, we have beers that like seek out. Like I would get these again in a second. I'm going to put the Incognita in fourth place. Yeah, I said fourth last, mm-hmm. but that was fifth. Fourth place. Main reason is because it lacked some complexity that all the other beers lacked. I really enjoyed the flavor. I could see that as being, and it's an oxymoron, but like a quick drinking, you know, refreshing summer beer that's barrel aged foodered. Your wallet can't afford that. Drink a cheaper Pilsner for that. But this fit that vibe, mm-hmm. and it was really good for that. I'm going to put the Dark Truce in third place. That one was good. I thought it was really fascinating, especially when it brought the smoke, the plum, sour, candied, dehydrated fruit thing. It brought a lot to explore. And then exactly everything Greg said. Charlie from Hill Farmstead is this ridiculously complex 2% beer. Like, my brain doesn't even comprehend that. You mentioned Le Petit Prince. That's Bush League compared to this.
That's,
we gave it.
Oh, come on. It's triple A.
We gave it props because it could bring some flavors at that gravity. This is lapping that time and time again.
Sure. This is fully flipped. This is, you would not.
If you went from this back to Petit Prince, you'd be like, huh. You know, like for me, it's like.
Yeah. I mean, if you judge them against each other.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but they're in the same ballpark. But I mean, if you're trying, if you want to, and you don't have to. This one's.
Yeah. Does this lap Petit Prince? Yes. Is Petit Prince Bush League? No, this is just that. This is just okay. So exceptional right. for that style.
Well, Triple A, whatever. I mean, I didn't mean to say that they can't play baseball. I'm just saying that they're not the same beer.
They're not the same level.
Yeah,
I agree with
you. And then Darkness. Oh my God, it's a wow beer. It even after all these years, you know, the first year that I probably wanted Darkness was probably like in 2021. It's been 22 years since I've heard about this beer.
You said 2021, so maybe 2001, you mean?
Yeah, 2001.
Yeah. When you're speaking off the cuff, don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably been, you know, 22 years since I've wanted to have this beer. And
got it.
It didn't disappoint. It was kind of like I finally found the way.
And also, like, think about how much you would have enjoyed it then versus how much you're enjoying it now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have had Dark Lord would have been like the only comparable beer at that time.
Yeah.
Like, fantastic.
There's so much more now that our palates are trained, all that stuff, so much we can get out of it.
It's a special, special beer. I don't want my flashlight. I don't want my camera.
I'm assuming that anyone's listening to this show is on that same level, that this is the right time for you to go for this beer.
If you find it, go for it.
If you find it, yes. If you find it, it's almost certainly worth it.
All right.
Like we said, like the Utopias, even at 275, that's worth it, especially because you get to keep it around. Yeah, right? It's not like you open it.
It's tough. I mean,
275 is a little bit much. Like 200 still, I think, is good.
Yeah, like a 275, it's like, I'm not sure if the best whiskey is worth that. I'm not sure if Utopias is worth that.
If you've never had it before, it might be worth it, but.
I mean, it's so good.
If you've never had it before, it's so worth it just to try it. Like, I think that's enough.
Get some friends and just go for less.
Yeah, but if you've had it before, then I don't know if 275 is worth it. I agree.
What's the Cinder one?
All right. While she's working on the order,
So what I'm going to talk about maybe in the post show is the Hairy Ball Theorem.
I know about that.
You know the Hairy Ball Theorem. She doesn't.
Hey, Cooper, come here. Let's look at your hairy balls.
But I think this is a great way to explain, or at least the first part of the Hairy Ball Theorem, or at least what a vector field over S2 is. We didn't talk about it. Hopefully we'll talk about it in the post show a bit, but their last post show where there wasn't much of a post show or we ended the post show listening to a Radiohead album.
Oh my God. So good. Hey babe, just so you know, accuracy is way less important than just getting it done. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys are talking, so you know, it's fine. Okay. It's fine.
So,
like, no one's going to call you wrong.
I know.
Okay.
Can I have that one?
Yeah. Thank you. So, I feel like you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I will never disclose how much I enjoyed it, but I definitely enjoyed it.
It was a great sort of night of we just sat together and listened sort of in the dark.
I turned off all the lights and you're like, both of you were like, why'd you turn off the lights? I'm like, it just fits the vibe. Like,
yeah,
these harsh lights, no bueno, like harshing my vibe, man.
And I mean, if Radiohead gets props for me just for that album alone. So
a friend of mine, Craig. Yeah. Craig, he went to Fish Fest in Dover, Delaware. Do you know what Fish Fest is?
Yes.
I didn't know what Fish Fest was. First off, it's called Mondegreen, which I just learned the same day from Veritasium what a Mondegreen is.
Oh, I forgot. If it was there, I missed that part.
It's the when you mishear one thing for another.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's the here lies the man on the green, and like here's Lady Mondegreen.
Ah, like excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like it's an audio thing, but like the festival is called Mondegreen, and I would have no idea. And then I just happened to, the day before, I happened to watch the Veritasium. So that was a very interesting synergy.
Definitely.
Of the universe. But a Fish Fest is kind of like a way for you to like pretend you're following Fish. It's 4 days where Fish plays 8 sets. There's no other bands at this festival. It's just Fish.
No, but they've found their niche and they are exploiting it like crazy.
I mean, people follow Fish, like the Grateful Dead. So I can see why they thought, let's just let them stay in the same place for 4 days.
It's perfect because there's going to be people who are going to just dig it and you get to just do the thing you would just hang out doing anyway.
Yeah.
If you're Fish, it's just the thing that you'd hang out doing anyway. And you get a whole bunch of people to pay you for it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you play the same songs in because, 4 different cities or
a Fish song city. Is not what's on the album. Fish song is whatever they do live. It's all the blah 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 that they do while it's live. It's an improv show. And a Fish is an improv.
I would be curious to see Fish. There was a band I went to last year. Actually, the first time I caught COVID was at this concert. It was the Kitchen Dwellers. And they're this bluegrass Americana band. And their studio albums, I love their music. Live, it's this everyone gets a solo every song band. And I hate that so much. I enjoyed the songs that I wanted to hear. Until the song lasted 12 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like Pavement's like that from what I've listened. I've listened to some concerts of Pavement, and they're like, no, I want the album version.
I've never had that until I went to Kitchen Dwellers. And
they took one of my favorite songs, and they ruined
it. When I noticed, like, oh, they're doing another Everyone Gets Their Solo, like, it's just like, ugh. Like, okay, I got to wait for him, and him to all go through their bullshit. Before I get to the bridge, which I really like, you know, it's like, it doesn't work for me. I wonder if Fish feels like that, or if Fish feels more like an improv.
Guess we'll never know.
I feel like
I'll probably never see Fish. I feel the like prices will probably be
you don't high. Buy Fish albums, right? I mean, maybe you do, but I don't know. Like, I think the people who are fans of Fish are just like, they're fans of Fish and they're not. It's not like, oh, you got to listen to the album version of this. They'll say, you got to listen to this version they
Chicago
did.
Chicago 1984. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like the Grateful Dead. I mean, it's totally exactly the same vibe as Grateful Dead. I'm just curious whether the Kitchen Dwellers and Fish, if I personally would feel different about their riffing versus the Kitchen Dwellers, it feels like everyone gets their contractually mandated solo.
I do have something to talk about regarding Fish with an F. Yeah. So,
but like when it feels like everyone gets their contractually mandated solo, it's like no fucking way.
Well, so you should talk
about your beers, babe.
Yeah.
Are you guys interested in that at all?
We are. That was just Fish.
Well, obviously.
That was just us progressing while you...
We just figured you'd change your mind a few more times.
Really? Because I've been sitting here, I don't know, playing on my phone.
We got so into it.
Okay. Thank you for admitting your flaws.
I mean, it's been 30 minutes since we started the wrap up. So, I mean, we're just not good at this thing.
Not good at it. So, in last place, unfortunately, because I really love the brewery, it's 1812's.
And this beer was better than that coffee beer that we had last
week. Yeah, it was really good. But, you know, comparing to the other ones.
It was not good.
The beers at the pub were really good.
Yeah.
These beers I paid more for, they don't know how to bottle. They don't bottle properly.
No. I mean, it was too artificial for me. So, and next was the Olympus from Chain Line. Yeah. I don't even know what it was. It barrel aged.
Imperial style. It tasted like it has stick in the middle of it.
Yeah. And then we had the, is that Hop Farm?
Yes.
Fresh pot of mocha. I'm not looking at my notes, so I forgot. Oh, it's the coffee. I wasn't impressed. What was it about that one? I didn't write thin. Notes. It was thin. Yeah, it was watery. It tasted watered down. That's what it was. Thank you. And then I had the Incognito from Cinderlands. That classic Saison. I don't know. I guess I have to retract that because it's not a classic Saison at all. Yeah. At all. It was full of body. I really don't chew. What the hell are you doing? Taking all of it.
Do your
I like it. Okay. And then in third, we have the Dark Truce, which is from Dark Truce.
Lone Pine.
Okay. Sorry. Something like that.
It's a dark truth that it's from
Dark Truth.
Yeah.
But no, it's a dark truth.
Yes.
It is a truth. And then
fight you over it, unless you want to have dark truth.
Let's fight. Let's do it. Let's go outside.
All right. So in second place I have the Hill Farmstead, Charlie. I love the picture. He's a cute dog. And in first place I'm gonna have to go with this darkness. What is this?
Surly's Darkness.
Yeah, Surly's Darkness. I just can't get over. So, are we going to do the Merry Fuck thing?
That's our shtick.
I mean, that's...
We stick to our shtick?
I've already got that.
We're like fish.
Figured out.
So, yeah, Merry Fuck Kill.
Easy for me.
Mary is Charlie.
Yes.
You marry Charlie. You won't always be with Charlie.
Oh, my God. You could drink it three meals.
It depends.
You know, because you could drink Charlie three meals a day. You drink Charlie three meals a day every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can't do that for darkness. That's your fuck.
I mean, what do they say? Don't buy the milk by the cow, right? Don't buy the milk by the cow, right?
So don't buy the milk.
Don't buy the milk of the cow.
If you can get the cow for free.
Yeah, yeah, or something like that.
That's what it is. Don't buy the milk if you can get the cow for free.
If you've got a cow or a chicken or whatever that makes that, whatever farm animal you want to put in that metaphor.
Don't buy the darkness if you can get the cooperage for free.
Well, buy the darkness. But like when you're in Vegas and it doesn't matter. That's when you do a fuck. There you go.
All right, so yeah. I have a spin on this.
Who's
because...
the kill, though? The kill is...
Oh, yeah.
No, the kill. The kill is 1812. No, I hated it. Okay. I hated it.
Oh.
I also hated
I'm gonna
the
kill
chain line.
I'm going to kill Chain
so Line. So it's tough for me, but I feel like Chain Line without the infection might be interesting.
Yeah.
This is what was intended.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you are right. I hate when you're right. No, you're right.
It sucks because I'm always right. So,
and he's always right until you come over.
Whoa! Okay, counseling in the post show.
When has it not been counseling?
All right, you're MFK.
All right. Well, okay. So I have an entirely different scenario here that I need everybody to hear because it's very important.
Yes.
So if I'm going to marry somebody that I want to stay sober for and I want, because I love them so much.
I better take notes.
No, so I have
so the show's ending this week. We're going sober.
I have two Marys. It depends on the mood. Like, if you want to stay sober, just I can't
win
talk.
It, right?
Jesus.
Got to make the hard decisions.
You guys got to stop
it. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like, points don't matter.
Two people right. are going to marry.
So, if
what
I'm
are you, Mormon?
Well, the Pittsburgh Mormon Temple just opened. They had an open house yesterday.
So. Open house yesterday. We drove past.
Yeah, they were waving at us, the little guys in ties.
Like, we stopped.
Good for them, those little guys. Yes.
We were going to hang out, but we didn't have time.
I mean, if you're going to have a dictatorship, it might as well be Mormons.
My name is.
At least there are going to be some nice parts of it.
All right. So can we get back to my story?
We should, because that would have been the perfect time to end the show, but we can't.
We don't.
But it was like the punchline. It was like the catch right there.
We got to go for it. You know that we built that improv rapport between us that when we feel it.
So we can go until we vibe again.
If I'm happily married like I am, then
to who?
You, no, my dear.
No, to Charlie or Dark.
No, she's doing a metaphor
to
now.
You.
Now you're not following. You've suddenly lost the plot.
Metaphor. Yeah. I can do metaphor. Yeah. Give me a metaphor. Throw it at me.
I want to remember everything and cherish every moment. So
you're like, I'm going to marry. In bed, but I'm a Charlie the rest
darling,
of the time.
Darling, I'm marrying Charlie.
Okay.
But I'm darkness in bed.
And I'm going to...
That's what you want, right?
Fuck Surly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my Kuma!
I'm going to...
Winning over here.
Kill... what a...
Chainline.
Chainline.
It's a French
now.
Chainline.
Now.
Chainlong.
Oh my gosh, you guys are... So difficult.
We're just riffing. We're trying.
We're just riffing. Yeah.
Now,
remember Big Grande? We saw them. One of the things that they do is they yes and everything.
Yes and.
And so like even past the point where you're.
So if you guys were on top of your game, you would have been like yes now. And
we should talk about that
because
every quirk of my being yes and. So I've way yes ended way beyond your yes ending.
You would have asked me how I would respond if we were not happily married and having a beautiful relationship.
I don't remember asking that, but I'll take it. Give it. Divulge. Put your foot in your mouth. Come on.
I would marry the Incognito from Sunderland's because it had a higher alcohol content to get me through the day.
Yeah, so this is a new, different Mary?
Oh,
I mean...
But, you know, it's a quick drinker. It only lasts for a short period of time.
My past lives, I would have married Incognito.
It's a quick turn.
It'd make you forget.
Just temporary. Quick turn.
Just
it's gone in a matter of moments.
There are people who drink to remember, and there are people who drink to forget.
So now I'm starting to think that I need some more Incognito here on tap.
On tap.
Dang.
You only spent $2,000 on the fire pit thing, so you should certainly be able to install an Incognito tap.
Yeah.
And
Camper was a little bit more than the kiln, so. And then like we're fixing like things we want to fix, and it's like today I'm like, I just spent another $420 bucks.
$420. But no. I'm pretty sure the text message said fives.
Well, you guys are close to living the dink lifestyle.
Dink lifestyle?
Dink.
Dink?
Dink.
Double income, no kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Why did I forget that? I was just telling you about that.
Shannon just maxed out her 401k for the year.
No, I didn't just. It was a month ago.
Okay. But anyway, lots of overtime. She maxed out her 401k for the year with the matching part, and she can do the catch-up stuff, but like... They're not matching it. So it's like, no, like, so now our paychecks are like, where they are like, the way we manage together is her actual take home is scant until she maxes out the 401k about July. And then it's like Boku bucks. So
you live on, you figured how to live on
we mostly on live basically on, just we mostly live that, on,
and then once you get the bonus, then it's like
we,
all this
we extra. Mostly live on last yeah. year's, like all the deficit from paying credit cards and stuff is last year's bonus. Mm. Is kind of how it's been going. And then like she feels, I don't know how to describe it, but you feel bad that your paychecks are so small for the first half of the year because there's like no money coming in, but it's all going into
all
dollar. Microsoft's 401k is ridiculous.
Well,
it's a dollar for dollar match up to the limit, whatever.
Plus I'm buying the maximum amount of stock that I can get at a discounted rate.
Yeah.
Good stock to have, Microsoft stock. I mean, it's not going down. Although we can talk about AI a bit.
Yeah, I'm trying. But anyway, yeah, the maxing out at our company, maxing out your 401k, it's stupid not to. And also, since the market has a
positive, not to. It is since, totally stupid.
Since the market has a positive bias, yeah. It makes more sense to max out as early as you can.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thank you for starting the music to wrap us up. The post show is going to be lit, brah.
We're gonna lit, brah.
Drip over this. It's going to be Alpha Sigma Skibbity Toilets, and you'll
oh
want
my
to tune
God.
In.
Did you just...
I'll explain the Harry Ball theorem.
You just...